Father, we thank you so very much for who you are and for your living presence today. We all come from different situations on the home front. We've got our minds distracted in many different places. And we ask even now that you would help us, O Holy Spirit, to fix our gaze upon you, our Lord, to see you, that you would do the work that only you can do. And that is to help us to know you better and to reveal your love for us. So we ask you, O Holy Spirit, to come now and teach us. I pray that you would use the words of my mouth, Lord, and let them be acceptable in your sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple people, some of the leaders last week said, please try to address the need for support to our husbands in this economy when you talk about love today. So I'm going to try to work that in, but I'm just going to tell you that would be something I would say to you in the grid of talking about love, that you would be in the back of your mind asking the Lord to show you what relationship, maybe it is with your husband right now, maybe more so than with your children, that you would be asking him where he wants to put this teaching about love into your life and mine. What relationship is it? Is it with your husband that you want to ask the Lord to do a work in you about loving him in the way that he needs it right now? Maybe it's with one of your children that's more difficult to love. Maybe it is with a mother-in-law. Oh, please love those mothers-in-law, because I'm one. I have sons, and so I'm a mother-in-law always. And so maybe it's that relationship, seriously, that you need to ask the Lord to do a work in you. Maybe it's with a neighbor. Maybe it's with a sibling, a sister or a brother. Maybe it's with a parent. But you yourself know, with the Lord's help, what grid he wants to apply this to. Maybe it's several. It's quite a topic. As many of you have been reading the paper daily, and I have to confess I do go to Yahoo Finance sometimes. You know, my husband taught me to do that, and I'm turning on CNN sometimes or whatever, or Fox, and listening to the news about the economy. I read an article yesterday about the economic, or actually I didn't read the whole article, I read the headline, the economic deficit is rising. I thought, how can a deficit rise? It seems like the deficit is, you know, enlarging, not so much rising. But I thought, how much our vocabulary has become, as we're talking about the economy, shortage, deficit, loss, shortfall, you know, on and on, these words of scrimping and money drying up, just all these negative words. And I thought, what a wonderful privilege today that we come to the Word of God talking about His love. And in God's economy, we have words like abundance, overflow, blessing. I thought about phrases filled with the fullness that we find in Ephesians, exceedingly abundantly, also in Ephesians, the riches, showers of blessings, and on you can think of phrases from Scripture that you might know. God's economy is abundance, it's surplus, it's overflow. And so what a privilege this morning that we can turn our gaze away from deficit and shortfall, loss, and look at what God says about who He is and about His love for us. So that's what we want to do as we tackle this topic of love. I tell you what, I thought, how did I get love? You know, Barbara got prayer. That's real practical, specific. I get love. You know, we've got 20 minutes to talk about love, so it might be 25, so sorry, group leaders. But we're going to do what we can do. The command to love is what we're going to look at first on your outline. And I'm going to be looking at John 15. That gospel, Barbara and I were speaking last week, she used John 17. When I am really down in the dumps, I can pretty much count on the fact I'm going to be hanging out in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Because those to me, especially John 15, those to me reveal to me God's intimate love for us and His relationship with us. I'm a very relational person, and I live in a home, or did, with men. You know, two of them are gone now, but you know, I know that God used that in my life to get me to Him, because I'm needy relationally. And so these chapters in the Gospel of John are incredible for speaking to us about God's relationship with us in Christ. The command to love, John 15. What's the context of this passage? Jesus is giving some of his last words, and we know that last words are always very significant words. Most commentators believe he's still in the upper room on the night of his betrayal and arrest before the crucifixion the next day. And he's speaking to his beloved disciples about the abundant life that he has called them to in relationship with him, that he's going to make possible for them and for us through his imminent death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven on our behalf. And how he explains to them this abundant life is by using a word picture. He was an incredible teacher, we know, and he used a word picture, the image of the vine and the branches, to illustrate this vital union, this living relationship that he would make possible, that would exist, that exists between him and his followers and with us as believers in Christ. He says in John 15:5, and I copied on the back of your outline the scriptures that we're going to be looking at. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's pretty sobering, pretty amazing. We can do nothing of real eternal significance, he says. What he's saying is that our lives are to be such that we are each living in the life of the other. That's what Jesus says to his followers, to you and me, if we are in Christ, if we're in relationship with him by faith. Just like the sap that flows from the vine in a plant, the nutrients in the sap have to flow into the branch in order for it to produce any kind of flower or fruit. The same is true with us as Christians. We have to be connected. We have to be totally dependent on his life in order to have our lives produce a Christian life. I've heard it said before, and it's true, only Jesus Christ can live the Christian life, right? So we have to stay connected with him. It is a spiritual relationship because he is the Holy Spirit living within us. And so he gives a word picture. This is what it's going to be like. You're going to have to stick with me if you want to live out the life I've called you to. If you want my life to be produced in you, that life that Galatians 5:22 says is a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I want that, but Nancy cannot produce that. I don't even get to the L of love, you know, in trying to do it in my own strength. But in Christ, we have that ability. He is the nutrient. He is the sap. He says it is not only, though, a living relationship, but it is a loving relationship. Verses 9 and 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you, he says to us, to them and to us. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The message says that, which is a paraphrase, and I liked this, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. That's an incredible statement. Jesus says, I have loved you in the very same way that God the Father has loved me, his beloved Son. And then he says, make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I thought about that a lot this week. What does it mean that we have to obey his commands to abide in his love? I really wrestled with that a lot. And I think what it means is if you love somebody, you inherently want to please them, right? You want to. If you really love someone, you try to listen to what they say and do what they've asked. And so he says the way to really remain connected in that kind of a love relationship is do what I've asked you to do. The problem is we just don't have the power to do it. We want to obey, but then we get into real life, and it's not so easy, right? So he goes on to tell them what his commandment is. He says in verses 12 and 13, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So he gives them the number one supreme commandment, after loving him, of course, is to love one another. And he goes on to describe the quality of that love. How has he loved us? By laying down his life. I was interested to see that as we go throughout Scripture, God's description of his love, and therefore the kind of love that we're to show, is a sacrificial love. Listen to this. Listen to these few verses I just lifted out. John 3:16, it's always an action. Love is always an active verb. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, these are just a few that came to my mind. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul speaking of the love of Christ, he says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see that it's always God's love followed by gave himself for us? Ephesians 5:2, Christ has loved us and given himself for us. So love is a verb in God's economy. It is a giving myself away. It is sacrificial. It is selfless. And right off the bat, we know that we are inadequate for that. We're not called to lay down our physical lives, but we're called to love people, to pour out love for others selflessly. And that's where comes the rub for us. So as followers of Christ, then, we are to pour out this love to other people. And so I got a lot of help this week as I was trying to bring this into something that we could take home. I ran across an analogy used by a woman who wrote a Bible study for mothers called Motherwise. I have not done the study. Maybe some of you have heard of it, have you? Named Denise Glenn. So maybe you have heard this already. But she uses the analogy of our lives being a bucket. And she says we are to pour out our love out of our buckets, out of our lives. The problem is that our buckets have to be full, right? What fills our buckets? Well, God has created us with a need for unconditional love, acceptance, security, a sense of belonging, and a need for significance. We need all that to have our bucket filled. Okay? So when we are called to pour out our buckets to our children, to our husbands, and so forth, the problem is we got to have these buckets filled. We've got to have these needs met. And the Lord knows that. But you and I need to realize the problems that we run into in really loving, like he calls us to love, are the fact that most of the time we're running around with empty buckets. And so that's what we want to look at this morning, is what is the way that we fill our buckets? Where do we go to fill our buckets? Well, I know where I go, and I'm going to talk about that more in a minute, but there is one place, and the Lord tells us that. He never gives us a command without supplying that. I love that. Just like you, if you're a good mother, you don't tell your children to do something without giving them the resources to do it, right? A lot of time, you're right there to help them do it. Well, God is a loving Father. So he tells us, pour out your love for others as I have loved you. And now, I'm going to show you how you can do that. Romans 5:5, the source of our love, the supply for our bucket, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit, the moment you accept Christ and believe in him as your Savior from your sins and as Lord of your life, you are gifted with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart. That has been the promise of God from the Old Testament, that he would be our God and that we would be his people, that he would dwell in our midst. And so when Christ died on the cross, ascended into heaven, resurrected and then ascended, then the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to us, and in doing that, God's love was poured out into our hearts. The verb used, poured out, indicates a present status that results from a past action. In other words, God's love filled our hearts when we first believed in Christ and continues to fill them now. J.I. Packer gives us an illustration of that. He says it's like a valley that once flooded continues to remain full of water. So God has flooded his love into our hearts, past action, but the result remains. That love is still there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there. The Spirit of God is love. God is love. It's his heart, his breath, his life in us. And so therefore, his love is there. But how do we access his love? Through the Holy Spirit. That's how. So the Spirit of God lives within us so that we have a continuous supply for our empty buckets. I liked, again, the paraphrase of the message of this verse. He says, Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase says, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. There's ample supply for our buckets. Our problem is we don't go to the source, right? We have, as a believer, if you are in Christ today, you have the whole magnitude of God's love in your being through the Holy Spirit. That's what he says, the heart of God. It's an incredible thought. I mean, I'm only going to be able to touch just a little piece of this. I pray that God will work this in us this week, of what he has given us in giving us himself, to be with us always, to give us the power to love. When I was growing up, now this is going to tell you how old I am, maybe not exactly, but my grandparents lived on a farm in West Texas, and they didn't have running water when I first was little. I remember that we would get water from their cistern. We didn't call it a well, it was a cistern, and it was right behind their house. It was connected, I guess, to a spring under, I mean, even in those arid lands of West Texas, out by Seymour, Texas, Wichita Falls, some of you know those areas. We would go to the cistern, and there was a bucket attached to the cistern, and you drop the bucket down into the cistern, pulled up water, and then you had your water bucket from the house to fill up, and you'd bring it into the house, and then there was a big ladle. And I was trying to remember this morning if we actually all drank out of the ladle, or did we fill our glasses? Actually, I think we drank out of the ladle, everybody. You know, nobody got sick. So anyway, that was the picture of the well, the cistern, and that's where the water came from. And there was always a supply. You never ran out of water. Well, it's the same for us. In our Christian lives, we have a well that never runs dry, the fountain of living waters. And what does Ephesians 5:18 say? Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are our marching orders. The source has been given to us. He lives in us. How do we keep being filled? It's by going to him. You know, Jesus says over and over in the New Testament, come to me. Come to me. If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And I believe that means not just a one time. That means if you're thirsty today, if you've got a soul thirst, if you've got a relationship thirst, whatever your thirst is, come to Jesus. How do we do that? Through the Holy Spirit. We pray. We look to him. Sometimes out loud I'm saying, Lord Jesus, help me today. I don't have the strength to do this job. I don't want to do this job. I can't do this job. Pray right then. That's the Holy Spirit welling up within us. We come to him. That's how we keep being filled. And he then overflows his love for us. That's part of his ministry to us. But what happens? What are the hindrances to love? And I'm not going to really talk a whole lot about that in particular, but we do have holes in our bucket. We go to get filled, but there are holes there. Holes in our bucket are holes that are drilled because of messages that we have heard about ourselves and believed. Some of these messages have come from our parents. Now, some of us got messages that were good messages about ourselves, and they helped fill our buckets as we were growing up. But sometimes the messages that we hear about ourselves from other people, whether it's our parents, our peers, our spouses, sometimes the message is that we're not so wonderful. And when those messages come and we take them as truth and we form images of ourselves in our minds, they are in effect drilling holes in our bucket. And we need to be aware of those. All of us come with some holes in our bucket. Some of us got holes recently in our bucket, you know. Some of us went into marriage thinking that we were going to fill our buckets. Those poor men that we thought were just going to be God to us, you know. Well, they can't do that. And some of them do a better job, though, than others, I'll have to say. Some of our husbands we thought would be filling our buckets, but at times have drilled some holes there because they don't relate to us like we want to. God never intended them to totally be able to fill our buckets. So where did the holes in your bucket come from? Was it your past, growing up in a home where your parents had empty buckets? They couldn't fill your bucket. Maybe it's true of you, and there's no shame in that. It's just how it was. But you need to especially beware of those holes in your bucket so that you go immediately to the source when those buckets begin to start looking like those holes are going to reappear again. Maybe it's in your marriage. Some of us have been driven to the Lord because our husbands couldn't fill those buckets of ours. In fact, they created those holes. And so we've been driven to the Lord. What a praise, though, right? That it caused us to seek the Lord. Maybe it's a sibling who gave you messages about yourself. Maybe it's just a friend or, you know, supposed friend. Whatever, wherever the holes come from, we need to be aware of them because we have buckets that can leak. Sometimes they get empty not just because of holes, but because we've poured out so much, right? Being mothers, being wives, all of our life work, it depletes us. And so again, the call is to go back to the source, the supply of the Holy Spirit, of God Himself who lives within us so that He can fill us to the fullness of God. How do we do that on a daily basis? And again, I'm going through here real fast, but it's a lot of information and it's probably just things to think about and pray about. I want to look at these things that have been beneficial for me personally. They're scriptural. How do we go about getting our buckets filled? Because we don't want to go to broken wells. A verse came to me early this morning that has meant a lot to me. It's in Jeremiah 2:13, and God says to His people Israel, "You've committed two sins. You have forsaken Me, the fountain of living waters, and you have dug out for yourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Think about that. What are the cisterns that you and I dig out for ourselves instead of going to the well that God has provided? What are those cisterns? Where do you go in your life to get your bucket filled? Think about that as we go through the rest of this day. We're all guilty of it. And it's good to name it and to confess it. Maybe I was thinking that in some ways, I was just talking to Terry about how those of us that have grown children and we've come to so enjoy them as young adults, and especially these sons, that I don't have daughters, but these sons, I can begin to go there for my cistern, you know, my supply, my bucket to be filled. And that's okay to a degree, but those sons leave. They leave. They have a habit of leaving and finding another woman to replace their mother. And so I thought this morning, as I'm watching one of mine kind of edge toward that other woman, you know, probably in a serious relationship, that I got to be careful because I've been used to going to him at times because he's more relational than our other son. I have to be careful and open my hands and let him go. I can't look to him as my sister to fill me up. Are you tracking with me on that in some areas in your life? Where do you go to get filled up, to get your bucket filled? Well, here's what God intends for us to do and how we can do it. Number one, Ephesians 3:14-19. And I found in the New Living Translation, I really liked this. This is a prayer I have prayed many times for not only myself, but for our sons, for people I love, because I believe it is the crux. How do we get filled up with the love of God? We pray that God strengthen us with power by His Spirit. There it is, His Spirit again, in our inner being. That Christ is completely at home in our hearts by faith. That we are rooted and we go down, this says, into God's love and we're strong. That we may have power to understand with all God's people how wide and long and high and deep is God, is the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And then we will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That is a prayer that you and I can pray daily, that God will work that in our lives. The strengthening of the Holy Spirit, that's His ministry to us. One of them is to reveal God's love to us in power. We can pray that every day, and God will do that work in us. Second, the older I get, the more I realize you and I need to be preaching to ourselves. Now, sometimes I do that out loud. I have to tell you, no one's at home at my house at times, and so I do it out loud because I need to hear. You know, it says in the Bible that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so sometimes we need to really hear ourselves preach to ourselves. And I copied for you some things, some verses of Scripture that I got out of a book, and I hope it was okay to copy them, but they're all from the Bible, so I figured it's public domain, right? It's from Duty to Delight, a book about prayer by Ron Parrish. And he is talking here about, he lists what Scripture says to us about who we are because of Christ Jesus and His death and resurrection and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. These are incredible things to help you remember again what God has said about you as His. They're wonderful because, again, it reminds you of how much God has loved you and me. And so we need to keep putting that into our minds. So this is something to use. You can do use it weekly, daily, whatever. Third, praising Him out loud for who He is. I'm really on an out loud kick, I can tell here. But sometimes we get to a point I think we need to hear ourselves out loud. But praising the Lord for His love, again, it is what you're doing is undergirding what you believe. Speaking out, praying out loud, praising the Lord is a great way to undergird our sense of God's love for us. And finally, He says that you will abide in My love if you obey My commands. And His command is to love others. There is an amazing dynamic that as you stay related to the Lord, if you keep that vital connection with Him by faith, by the Word, by prayer, by Christian fellowship, then you're going to be enabled to pour out love to other people. And then the reciprocity of that is you will be abiding in His love. It's an amazing thing. The more we give away, the more we receive of Christ's love. There's a supply that never fails. So it's an exciting and amazing thing to be part of God's family, to be living in union with Him. And so as we think and go to our classes and talk about loving our children, we need to step back and look not just as what we're to do, but what has been done for us. So let's pray. Father, what an incredible subject it is to focus on Your love for us, because when we do, we really look into Your heart, and that is holy ground. And I pray that, Lord, You would Yourself, by Your Spirit, strengthen us with power, that we may be able to grasp all the dimensions of Your love for us in Christ, and that therefore, Lord, we may pour out of our lives Your love, that others may know You as we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.